This is Tom Jackson, and you're listening to WSCA LP 106.1 FM in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. 16 years ago today, the United States invaded Panama. The reason given at the time was to get rid of an evil dictator, Manuel Noriega. Barbara Trent produced the documentary The Panama Deception about the untold story of the U.S. invasion of Panama, and she won an Academy Award for that film in 1992. In addition to today being the 16th anniversary of the invasion, a look back at the Panama Deception is crucial because this groundbreaking documentary reveals a pattern of behavior on the part of our government and the military-industrial congressional media complex that continues today. Barbara Trent, thank you very much for joining us today.
My pleasure. It's an unfortunate time to come here for this particular anniversary, but
indeed,
it's important for the public to remember and compare to what's happening today.
Yeah, much agreed. What was it that made you decide to produce The Panama Deception in the first place, and when did you realize that the reality of what was happening in Panama was so different than what we were seeing through the mainstream media at the time?
Well, I think the first thing was waking up and having my coffee, turning on my TV for the news, and hearing George Bush say that he just deployed 14,000 U.S. military troops and a stealth fighter to arrest one man in Panama, where we already had thousands of troops and also 14 military bases. So it didn't make any sense at all. Either we had the most inept and ill-equipped military on the planet, which is not the case, or it was a lie. I mean, it was just pretty cold-faced, clear that it was a lie. And then, of course, before the invasion happened, we saw the media preparing us for it and saying there was going to be retribution because one soldier had been killed at a checkpoint, and that the public would demand retribution, which was never the case. So we saw that, you know, we saw the war building up in the media. We were being prepared. We were being told that this is what we wanted. And then when it happened, it was just such an outrage, the overwhelming force that was used. And then, of course, throughout the invasion, the constant reporting of every American death and no reporting of Panamanian deaths.
Well, I wanted to ask you whether during the time of the invasion, were you actually there during some of that period filming, or how did you go about getting the footage and interviews that wound up comprising the Panama Deception?
Well, we were not there. Manuel Becker, one of our cameramen, was there during the invasion. He's a Panamanian citizen who died, I might add, during post-production, as did several other of our team. He was there during the invasion shooting video, and that was just this, it was amazing that someone was with a broadcast quality camera. And when we went down, which it took us 6 months to raise the money to go down there with equipment, back then one couldn't just buy the little mini cameras now that are so high quality and yet so inexpensive. So it was more of when it was still more expensive to shoot video and to edit video. So we went down about 6 months later, and there were two things happening. In one sense, people were really anxious to tell us their stories. And on the other hand, there had been so many journalists who had come and gone, and their story had never gotten out. So one of the things we were met with was this real cynicism, distrust, and almost kind of a hatred for journalists because we were their only link to telling the world what was really happening. And despite all that had come and gone, the story wasn't getting out. So one of the things we did was in the refugee camp, we showed the film in Spanish, Cover Up, behind the Iran-Contra affair, which we had done prior to the Panama Deception, also an award-winning film. Never broadcast in the U.S., but shown in other countries. And once they saw that, they were aware that we weren't your average journalist. And the word got out pretty quickly through kind of the underground, because the refugees staying at the Albrook Center would come and go. So, you know, they would be in and out of town. So the word got out that we were there and we really did care. And we wanted to tell their story. So then people started coming forward and saying, well, I can take you to meet someone who, you know, who was there firsthand, but, you know, he's still underground because there's still an arrest warrant out for him, because anyone who actually participated in defending their country against this foreign invasion, even though it's part of their constitution that they're required to fight to defend themselves in a foreign invasion, people who did that, who could be identified, who weren't already dead, had warrants for their arrest under the new U.S. installed government. So people took great risk to meet with us and tell us their stories. And some of the people who we interviewed, we never did include their interviews in the film, because we promised that we would stay in touch with them until the last minute, the final edit, when we, you know, what we call online edited, to see if it was safe yet. And they said, no, it's still not. So we said, not a problem. You're not in the film. So people took a lot of risk, and it's always, of course, their responsibility to determine how much risk they want to take. And I never encourage people. I just never encourage people to take risk. They know what they want to do. They know if they are willing to risk their life or not. And they need to take into account their family and their whole situation. So it was, you know, it's always amazing to see the courage of individuals who are willing to risk their lives or die to see their country saved, in a sense. And at this point, the only way left to save it was to get the story out and to be sure that the U.S. military did not stay in Panama beyond the year 2000, which, of course, was the intent of the whole enterprise, the whole invasion.
You mentioned that some people involved with the production of the Panama Deception were killed during the time that it was being produced. Was that at the hands of military or street fighting, or how?
Each one different, and I don't want to belabor the issue, because not having evidence to base any journalistic opinion on, it's just something I prefer not to go into. Four died.
Okay.
But I bet we can talk about other things equally as interesting.
Well, I'm sure. My next question was sort of a follow-up to, you know, how you went about getting the footage and interviews, et cetera. Can you just talk for a few minutes about some of the most stark differences between what we had been allowed to see in U.S. mainstream media at the time of the invasion of Panama, as compared to what you were seeing and hearing when you were there?
I think what we were seeing on the news was that it was a surgical strike, that we'd gone in there, gotten Manuel Noriega, that there was very little collateral, as they like to call it, damage. They don't talk about dead civilians. To this day, they don't talk about dead civilians. The final big report that came out on the invasion of Panama in terms of civilian deaths calls it a number of civilians who perished in the invasion, as if they just kind of wilted up like a banana on the countertop or an apple or a piece of fruit. I mean, it's just amazing how the lengths that the government goes to not use the word, to not accept the fact that we killed civilians, people that had nothing to do with the invasion. So on TV, we were seeing people greeting the troops and being happy, similar to what we see to a large extent today in Iraq on TV, and we hear all these great speeches about how there's going to be democracy now, and, you know, we saw all that during Panama. And what we didn't see were kind of the images that we've seen recently that came out of New Orleans, and that is a lot of very poor people of color devastated, with their homes burnt to the ground, their wives and husbands dead, their vehicles destroyed, their places of work destroyed, just horrendous destruction and chaos. Those are the images we didn't see. I mean, Panama was such a trial, in a sense, a practice for the U.S. in terms of what it would later do in Iraq, the concept of really, really controlling the media. And they were able to do that quite successfully in Panama, and they did it. They've done it even more successfully in Iraq.
And with all of the ongoing deceptions, it seems to me that this is a time more than ever when we need to have perhaps several crews out there 24/7 doing independent media. Could you talk about the need for media activism as you see it?
Well, there's a tremendous need, and I don't think the biggest issue is to have the crews out there, because, frankly, I mean, that's really important, but that's being done all the time. There are great films right now out on the war in Iraq. We just finished one called Soldiers Speak Out. It really talks about what it is to soldier, and it's an important DVD for everyone to see. And similarly, people we've worked with and some of the films I've seen, there's a piece called Caught in the Crossfire about the destruction of Fallujah. There's the Arlington West film and Line in the Sand, and there's a piece called The Oil Factor. There's all kinds of wonderful stuff that's been done. The real problem is distribution. And for some of the films I've just mentioned, people can go to goodfilms.org, and they can see clips of all these different pieces on the war that they probably haven't seen, and information about how to get a hold of those filmmakers and get those films. The distribution is the big issue, and that's why we need to really fight to stop the monopolization of the media. And people can go to freepress.net to learn more and to participate in fighting corporate monopolization of our media. And in order to protect public access nationwide, there's a group called Alliance for Community Media, and their web is alliancecm.org. And once again, they can learn what's happening at the national level to try to repeal our right to have funding for public access in communities across the country where we have cable. So there's a huge assault on our ability to get information out. We had been with Panama incredibly successful in theaters across the country in over 80 cities, and we broadcasted in over 35 countries, and it's in over 20 languages, and we won awards and had incredible reviews from the very newspapers who supported the invasion. And yeah, I mean, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the LA Times, the Chicago Sun-Times, you know, right down the line, and yet this film was never broadcast in this country. It was broadcast nationwide. It was broadcast on a few PBS affiliates that had the courage to do so, but PBS at the national level never showed it, and they continue to not show the really hard-hitting pieces that go to the heart of what's happening today. So there's an enormous amount of work that needs to be done to educate the public in order that they can make better decisions. Most people think we live in a democracy. Most people think we have a free press. But we do, in the sense of capitalism, in the sense that it's free to the highest bidder. We don't have a free press in the sense of a courageous and independent media. We don't have that. And most Americans don't realize that. So it's very easy to mislead the American public. But I think they're becoming more and more aware all the time as the lies of the government, of this government, become more audacious. It becomes more obvious, you know.
Talk for a minute, if you would, about you have an organization called the Empowerment Project. Can you tell us what that is and what you do?
Sure. And you can reach us at empowermentproject.org and see about our films there as well. We make our own films, and we also offer consulting services to other filmmakers around the country and in other countries. We offer low-cost access to equipment for people locally. I've been spending a lot of time with other filmmakers creating this kind of collective goodfilms.org concept where we, instead of only promoting our own films, when we release a DVD, it has trailers of other people's films on it as well, and a link to their website. So we try to help democratize the media in many different ways.
Well, Barbara Trent, it's been a pleasure having you on WSCA today, and thanks very much for all that you do and for giving us some time.
My pleasure. We all need to just keep at it. We're making progress. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.